conversation with Patricia Cabrera Perez. This is the Tech Space brought to you by Alex Partners. We're a European founder-led executive search consultancy. Hello and welcome. I'm Giles Daniels, one of the founders of Alex Partners. I'm delighted to be joined today by Patricia Cabrera Perez. Patricia is the EMEA head of distribution for Gigamon, a global security company with products that deliver network-derived intelligence and insights to cloud security, observability, and network management. Born and raised in Mexico City, Patty has lived in the UK for the last 13 years. She's built a hugely successful career in channel and distribution for the likes of SAP, VMware, Ericsson, and now Gigamon. Patty is hugely driven, and as the industry continually evolves, she thrives in fast-paced environments, adapting to new technologies and innovations. At Gigamon, Patty leads distribution from a strategic planning perspective to guarantee execution while fostering a culture of collaboration and innovation throughout the organisation. She's passionate about empowering the next generation, particularly female talent in the IT industry. Through her career, she has experienced firsthand the positive impact of both being a mentee and a mentor. As a mentee, she's gained valuable insights and guidance that have helped her grow personally and professionally. As a mentor, she had the rewarding opportunity to support and inspire others, witnessing their progress and success. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. We're going to start the conversation on your journey into tech. I mean, clearly, it's in itself, it's a very interesting story. So if you'd like to start there, that'd be brilliant.
Sure. It's actually a very funny story. Because when I finish uni, you come like, well, what am I going to do? Where should I start? And I've always knew I wanted to be in sales and something relating to international business. And that was my major. So when I finished uni and I started to look at the boards of jobs that were available, a lot of them were in distribution in the IT industry. And at that point, I'm like, all those things about computers and internet, it's just super complex. That's not like, that's just not for me. And look at me now, 23 years after, all my career have been in this industry. And that's where I started up for those jobs. And that's where I started in IT on a distributor in Mexico City called Afina, managing the relationship with Citrix. And that distributor had evolved and have been acquired by what now is Westcon. So yeah, that's where I started. And it's one of the industries that never changed, that continues to evolve. So that really keeps you on your toes to keep growing and keep learning. That's how I landed in IT.
So then you were with SAS, were you? Your final role in Mexico City before moving to the UK. So you crossed over the fence from distribution into the vendor world.
Correct. So before joining SAS, I worked at SAP as a channel manager. And I think that's really where my multi-country cultural experiences started to develop because I started to work in the Latin American market, right? For a German company covering Latin America. And my manager at that time was a French gentleman. So that's where you start to play with all the different nuances of how the languages, the styles of doing businesses, and the cultures, the values really play a key important role in the way you do business. And then I jumped to SAS, as you will mention. I really wanted to be on the other side of the fence on the field sales, right? And I was working with banking and insurance industry. And I wanted to have a really a complete view of what the different roles within a sales cycle have to do and how really you need to align all the stars and roles to make sure you get an order at the end of the day, right? A purchase order.
Very good. So in terms of the move to Europe, was that something that you pushed for or did the opportunity present itself to you?
So it was presented. My husband was transferred for his job. So it was a family decision and joined. We said like, hey, let's just start this adventure 13 years ago. And we didn't know anybody. We just, the two of us, he was working at Schneider Electric. And then I started to look for a job. And I was super blessed that just in a couple of months, I was able to find a job in this industry that I really like. I'm working at for Avaya. And that was my first pan-European role, being a distribution account manager. And that was another big learning curve, right? Because I had this Latin American / American way of doing business. But here, just really take a look of even different time zones, way much more variety of languages, how people think, how direct some people can be, how non-direct can people be. It was another big learning curve that still today fascinates me, and it just brings so much fun into the way that you work.
So it's interesting, right? So I mean, obviously a very daunting move, and I just, maybe it sounds a bit flippant, but I would say that sort of distribution is, it's a man's world, right? Predominantly. So you've got the two factors of not being from Europe, of it being a second language. How good was your English before you moved to Europe or to the UK?
Actually quite good. I would say that it was just way much more American accent weighted. And I also speak French, so I still learned French when I was 15 years old. So it was quite good. But when I moved to the UK, I really struggled with the accent, right? And more when I was just dealing with maybe Scottish or Irish, but probably now I have a well-trained ear. But yeah, I would have to say even the building of the sentences or the intonations, you just have to really go through that learning process because it's just so different than the American. Some things that might concede direct here and the other side will be a little bit, that was a little bit maybe too direct and the other way around, right? So again, part of that interesting learning curve that you have to go through.
But that in itself is exhausting, isn't it? Having to concentrate so much harder on what people are saying to you, I suppose. So you had the skill set in terms of knowing the job, moved to a new country. So what was the hardest bit? Once you'd got the job, what did you find the biggest change? Was it the language? Was it the way that the business is done?
It's even today, maybe I'm just not new to me, but I would say that there's consistency of that lack of awareness across the industry in two things. One, as you will mention, we don't have yet enough percentage of female talent. And number two, immigrants, right? Some people are more open than others, as we know, but the way that you talk, the way that you behave, the way sometimes that you even dress, your thought process. And in my blood and my personality, I'm a very passionate woman in every sense of the word, right? I just like to excel. I'm normally always happy, and my body language expresses it, my eyes express it. And sometimes people don't like it. Some people think that it's just too much. I have received not very pleasant comments when people say, well, just quite uncomfortable when you're in a conference or in a chat and people use these kind of like word to connect to the next sentence or like that. Where there's people that just talk one language. And that thought process, that brain connection that you still really have to go through, and it comes from a plane of not being aware of what it takes.
So did you find, like, culturally, that the natural disposition of the British people sort of quite...
I would not generalize it with British. I would generalize it across the world. Probably some countries tend to be more, but then you take that as a good opportunity to say, how do you make it easier for people maybe to be a little bit more aware? Because I don't think that it comes with the wrong intention. It just lacks sometimes of awareness of education. I think some people have been lucky to have different experiences either by decision or by coincidence. But when you take the time to connect, when you take the time to share and not assume, you can see how people open and be a little bit more considerate.
And so do you think in the 13 years you've been here that two things have happened? So one is you've obviously come here, been brilliant at what you do, built immense credibility, but also people in the tech industry have become more open to embracing difference, whether that be somebody from Mexico or women in tech. I think both things have happened hand in hand sort of thing.
Yeah, I do think that it takes great leaders to lead by example and to start to be more open to drive and embrace this change. I personally, again, I've been more than 23 years in this industry, and I would like to say that probably the last 5 years, I have really started to see the change. One, because some of the leaders, they really see that it just, we all bring different values and different perspectives to do business in different and better ways. But also I see women were empowering each other a lot. And I'm not all about, all just women and it should be all about women. I know it's just always about having the right people in the right roles. But if we can extend a hand to that next person, whatever that next person that will be, right? Whatever from that country, whatever from that background, to literally leverage all the values, all the experiences, all the passion that people might bring, why wouldn't we? Right? And just do not be afraid of change. I think that's the thing. We're as humans, we don't like change. So what if we want someone that is just going to change a little bit our formula? that will bring, by definition, a different result, but it just happens that that result is going to be better. So I do really see that. And I've seen, as I mentioned, I've seen the power of that because I've experienced it. I have leaders that have mentored me, that have sponsored me, that have given me the right platforms and the right exposure. And that really makes a massive, massive difference.
On the flip side of it, you have some that have made it hard work for you.
You find it all, right? You do have the people, you know, that say, like, I'm not afraid to teach you to even become better. I had a manager I will never forget, right? He helped me to grow through my career. And at some point I took his job. He was happy for me to give me his chair. He gave it to me, right? And then in other situations where I had peers where it's just like, they just not give her a seat, right? Because he may be shining a little bit more than me. And then you just have to learn to navigate that. And you have to learn to that not distract you, right? And then someone gave me a very smart advice to say, sometimes we kind of tend to complicate certain scenarios when it's just so easy just to ask with that person that you may be having a conflict, just to say, hey, just go and have a chat. Hey, I'm seeing this. What's the matter? What's the problem? Why? And then, because we all assume when you open that table and have a direct conversation, we all come with ideas and misconceptions that probably can be completely different. And when you open and you're transparent, then sometimes you're able to turn the page and just share where everybody comes from. I'm not saying all the time works, but most of the time works.
You're a particularly strong personality and character as well, aren't you? So, I mean, that certainly helps. I suppose you then look at all the people who perhaps haven't got that for them, and it might be more of an uphill struggle. And then, obviously, so now your role is pan-European. Are there differences that you see in communication, in the fact that you are a woman in technology? Are there nuances in different countries, or is Europe quite similar in the way that the business is done and the way that people deal with people?
I would say you do have probably a 70%, right? You can have that consistency, but maybe the other 30, as we all know, with the Latin, maybe the Southern Europeans, we're a little bit more social, a little bit more, maybe we can say in 20 words what we can say in 5, right? But if you go maybe to other countries in Central Europe, maybe, you know, they have a different way of articulating. So those are the flavors that you still have to be very conscious when you do business across the whole region, and also be very respectful in other, like if we're doing things in certain countries in Africa, the Middle East, right? I think you're just having that awareness and be very respectful of that. But within the way that you present yourself, the way that you deliver when you come in, you start to earn that respect and that position for people, then at some point to forget those barriers and just connect on that human and professional way to say, hey, we're here to do business, let's just make it the best way for everybody, and that's it. But obviously that takes time to build.
Then we talked in the introduction about mentoring and being a mentor and a mentee. So from your perspective, what part has that played? How did that start? Did somebody come to you and sort of say, look, Patty, you should have a mentor, or did you go looking for a mentor? And what's the value that that's brought to you as you've developed, really?
So in one of the companies that I was at, I was identified as a top talent. And they do have a special initiatives for this group of individuals where we do have first a development plan with our immediate managers, and then we are assigned a mentor to try to have someone that is not close to your day-to-day business to have a view of what you would like to develop, but give you certain guidance from a different perspective. And I think it's always has to be a two-way street. It has to be a commitment, right? Because that people is investing time on you, and you just have to make sure that you leverage and you put in practice also, but they're sharing with you. And the great thing is that you kind of graduate from those mentors and then they pass the baton to the next one.
As you catch up with your mentor effectively.
Yeah. And the other thing is they also extend your network, right? They introduce you to different people. So you can continue to be on that learning curve from people outside of the company, from other industries. So if you do really leverage it properly and invest the time and be respectful of the people investing your time, it's a great platform to make great friendships and also always have a great professional network. So I think I've been very lucky, but all started because of who was my manager. And then extending that network, I ended up with amazing sponsors in different companies.
And so you have a mentor now?
Yes.
And so do you have like an open door policy where you pick them up if you've got a scenario in a situation, or is it you meet once a month for a coffee, or what? How does it work?
It applies for both ways, right? It is like always we do have a cadence, but if there's maybe a scenario that I would like to bounce ideas, I just have to pick up the phone and we can discuss it.
So, Kalima, I'm really intrigued by this, but how recently then did something happen? Because I imagine a lot of the time it's endorsement of what you think, isn't it, in a situation or a scenario?
It depends on where you are at. When you maybe are facing a scenario to say, oh, I need to pause for a minute. I think as you evolve in your career, you learn techniques to say, let's just pause, let's just analyze it. Let's just try to see where I come from, what's been happening, where that other people might come from. And have the approach that I exactly shared with you, where, okay, let's just pick up the phone first with that team or that people that I might be having a little bit of a challenge and just trying to understand where it comes from. If it can be clarified on that approach, great. If then I start to think that I'm running probably a little bit out of ideas, that's when I knock on the door of my manager. Like, oh, I have a hot potato here. Let's pick up the phone immediately, right? It just, again, as you grow and develop in your career, you start to find ways to try to figure out yourself.
And that's definitely the hardest thing when you're younger, isn't it? Earlier on in your career is to pause and think, right, somebody sends you an email or calls you and says something that you don't like about a deal or whatever. You go into almost like panic mode and just throw everything at solving the situation and almost tell them exactly what they want to hear. But as you get older, you realize that actually not going back immediately might actually put you in it.
No, exactly. Just developing that emotional intelligence, right? And also it depends on many things, as you said. Depends on what side of the bed eye of someone woke up that morning, or we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. Some people might be facing some really hard situations in their personal life, and obviously that affects us. And you can reflect on something else. So that's why I'm a true believer, first knocking on the door and just ask that person with that team, where does it come from? What's going on?
So as a mentee, what have you most enjoyed? You must get amazing satisfaction from the other side of the fence if you said something, somebody or guided them in a direction and it's worked.
You know, what I enjoy the most is that when they take you out of the comfort zone and you are probably afraid to take that step where they push you in a positive way too, and you kind of implement it and see that the results that you thought were very difficult to achieve, that's when it's satisfying. Or when you say, okay, I've gone through that path, I'm just going to do it myself so I don't have to go back to keep asking for the advice, if that makes sense. When you start to do it naturally, when you just don't even have to think about it, I think that's the most rewarding piece.
So we always do this at the end of the podcast, and it's a question which I think some has been answered already, but I think you've got such an interesting background and journey. And I think with your coming from South America, from Mexico to Europe, and being very successful in what's still a relatively short space of time, and probably you could argue in the hardest part of technology. Distribution is a tough world. So I think it highlights even more what you've done has been amazing. But we end the episode by reflecting on the past and say to you, what single piece of advice would you consider the most important thing to have said to your 20-year-old self? And I mean, I would imagine there's quite a bit in there, really, because of what's happened over the last 13 years.
I would say to always be true to yourself. I think we have, as women, a superpower, and you can call it a sixth sense. And we have that special antenna that kind of gives us like a sign that, hey, just go with your gut, or just that not aligned with your core. And just no matter what, we always be true to yourself. Because if part of you is being that passionate, part of you just being who you are, that's going to pay off. Because the day that you fail yourself, you can be engaging or committed to someone else when you're just not loyal to yourself.
And I guess growing up, you probably never imagined where life would take you, going back to those days of getting into technology and then building your career, moving to a new continent and all that. I mean, it's an incredible journey. And I mean, you must be so proud of what you've achieved.
Sometimes we forget that you just go 100 miles per hour. And I think it's good to stop for a minute and just acknowledge the things. But that goes back to say, be true to myself, because if I did not follow the passionate woman that I am, if I didn't just be me, I probably would not be who I am and where I am today.
And I think you've definitely used the things that could have been difficult. You've actually, because you've proven yourself and you are passionate, so hardworking and driven, that you've turned all that round. And actually, used it to your advantage, yeah, particularly in your most recent position.
Yeah, but you just keep growing and have an open mind and see every challenge as an opportunity. Don't be afraid to, again, reach out, to speak up. And again, just always remember to stay true to myself and not be afraid of who I am. And some people might like it, some people might not like it. But if I stay true to myself, I know that I will continue to grow.
As long as enough people like it, you're always going to do all right, aren't you? That's how I live every day. Not everybody can like me, but not worried about the ones that don't.
I heard one day, you know, we sometimes think that everybody should like us, but we don't like everybody, right? We're not everybody's cup of tea. So what we expect for us to be everybody's cup of tea.
As you get older, you don't worry about that so much.
Yeah, so it just, as long as you're true to yourself and you're honest, then things will fall into place.
That's great advice. Thank you so much, Patty. It's been absolutely brilliant talking to you. Where can people go to find out more about you?
They can find me on LinkedIn. If you go to, obviously, on Gigamon, you can find my details. As I've seen the value of mentorship, as I mentioned, I'm always happy to be a mentor. I'm doing it. So if anybody wants to reach out to get any recommendations or at some point would like to engage, I'm always happy to connect.
Absolutely sure, having listened to this today, that there will be people beating your door down. So that's brilliant. Thank you very much indeed, Patty. That was really interesting conversation. I was your host, Giles Daniels, and this is the Tech Space podcast series brought to you by Alex Partners. Thank you for listening. Say subscribe and join us for a new episode soon.